thou, worthy art thou. Good evening, everyone. If you would, turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 9. Hebrews chapter number 9. The subject that we listed in the bulletin today is it couldn't happen in the earthly sanctuary. And both lessons are intended to have a view of our grasping the spiritual format that we are supposed to live in. And everything that was under the old law from the law's perspective was more of a physical or an earthly thing to be done. And when Jesus came, he has done everything to transition us from the physical or the carnal to thinking spiritually about the things that we are supposed to do. And I hope that we can grasp another view of how God wants us to see it. I've always said that the Lord wants us to rise right above this roof and think right above the roof if I was trying to physically explain what we are supposed to do. But the physical parts are things that we perform, but we are supposed to reach a higher level. I remember someone telling me on one occasion, you act like you want all of us to have the faith of Abraham. Well, that's not true. I want us, all of us, to have more faith than Abraham. And so the view was, you know, Abraham had enough faith in God to offer his only son to the point that he would even pull the dagger and kill him. And our faith is supposed to even surpass that. And unless we learn to think like that, we can't ever begin to grow like that. In the beginning of chapter number 9, and we're going to read down through about 8 verses because we're trying to get a picture here. But as the Hebrew writer was writing, he said, then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and the earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant, overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things, we cannot now speak in detail. Now, when these things had been thus prepared, the priest always went into the first part of the tabernacle, performing the services. But into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sin committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. This is the verse that we extracted our thought from. And that is, it couldn't happen in the earthly sanctuary. Well, what are you talking about that couldn't happen? Well, when you look at the lifestyle that we live, the problems that we have, if we want to truly commune with Jesus or God through Jesus like we wish we could, that couldn't happen while in the sanctuary, or while the first sanctuary was still standing. As long as that sanctuary stood, it couldn't happen because of the ordinances, because of the things that had to be done to get there. And what I thought about is, if we had something heavy, heavy on our heart, we could pray to God, but still we didn't have the same connectivity as we have now. You see, one of the things we can do now, we can stop anywhere, anytime, in any format, and we know we can reach God. If I can't reach God, it's my fault. It's because I'm not talking to Him in sincerity. But then, in order to not be a receive redemption from sin, but just to move your sins forward 1 year, all of this format of the earthly ordinances had to be performed, and then the high priest or the priest had to perform the ordinances, and then the high priest could go in and offer this sacrifice first for himself and then for us all, but he could only do it once per year, and that day was called the Day of Atonement. And the point that I'm saying is, only this one high priest could go into the holy, or the holiest of all. I think in the King James it's called the Holy of Holies. But only this high priest could go in there. But now, wherever we are, and I know we read a lot about how God allowed his people to roll over and they prayed to him, you know, turn their face against the wall and they prayed and things like this. But this covenant brought something to where there was never another need. All we have to do is call on the one who paid the price. Our lesson today talked about how cumbersome the pardon is. And there are times when I just need Jesus. There are times, I think, when you just need Jesus. And you know, my three-word prayer is what I call the power prayer. You know, when we really cry out, "Lord, have mercy," that's the time when we just need Jesus. And we now have this through this new covenant. But this new covenant didn't come until the first sanctuary was done away with. As long as it stood, we didn't have this kind of access. And the whole view here is to point to us as the necessity of moving to the new law and why Jesus had to come. There are many who still hold on to that old law, but that old law doesn't offer us everything that we needed. For if it had offered everything that we needed, there never would have been a need for a new and a better covenant. Now, we can't cover all of Hebrews chapter 9 because it's so vast. But right after our lesson today, this thing talks about the need for the death of a testator. The need for the death of the testator came because that is a requirement for a New Testament. Every time there is a New Testament, a testator has to die. Even if it's just a will in our own family, in order to have that will activated, that testator has to first die. So, and then whatever will that was lived by while that testator still lived, that one, it dies, but as soon as that person dies, it goes away and then the new will and testament is in effect. And that's why we stand so firmly and talk about how Jesus took this law that was against us out of the way and nailed it to the cross. When we began to look here, we find that Jesus said some specific things because of all the ordinances. You know, you go in and you had all the washings and the tables and all of these different things that had to be done. But now we don't have to go through that kind of ritual. All we got to do is just go to God and pray. There's a song out there that we don't sing, and I don't know, it's been 35 years since I've heard it, but many of us may know a song called The Royal Telephone. There's a song called The Royal Telephone. And in that song, there are some very good things in there. It starts off like that: central, never busy, always on the line. You can talk to heaven just any old time. And so since we have Jesus, you see, we don't just have a telephone. We don't have any complications or any problem. We have a royal telephone. As a matter of fact, this past year in April, when the storms came and we didn't have any other communication, there were probably more people on the royal telephone during that period talking to Jesus because of the situation we were in. We moved up and we used the communication that we've been blessed to have because we have such connectivity through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We didn't have television. We didn't have any regular telephone. You know, for about 2 days, Huntsville had nothing. So we used the royal telephone to make our request known. But you see, this particular scripture in verse number 8 says this: the Holy Spirit indicating that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle or the first sanctuary was still standing. John chapter number 14 and verse number 6 may be the clearest view of when that really came to pass. Because in John 14 and verse number 6, Jesus said this: I am the way, the truth, and the light. You see, the way had not been known during that time. Then Jesus came and he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And then he capped it by saying this: no man comes to the Father except through me. And this is what the Holy Spirit was telling us that had happened in that particular time. Not only that, but when Luke wrote Acts in chapter number 7, about verse number 44, he wrote some things there too that let us know that there was something that was not all that we needed in that earthly tabernacle or earthly sanctuary. If you look at Acts chapter number 7 and verse number 44, this is what Luke wrote in that particular part. He said, our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he appointed, instructing Moses to make it according to the pattern that he had seen, which our fathers having received in turn also brought with Joshua into the land possessed by the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers until the days of David, who found favor before God and asking to find a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. But Solomon, verse number 47, built him a house. Verse number 48, however, the Most High God does not dwell in temples made with hands, as the prophet says. So you see, the whole view here is we are moving even outside of where we are. God does not dwell in this structure here because it's made with hands. But God will dwell in this structure here And this structure there, because it's not made with hand, is made by God. I'm recalling how God calls out through the Holy Spirit in the Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 20. And he says this, I'll dwell in your temple. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open up, I will come in and I'll dine with him and he with me. So you see, God will dwell, but he will only dwell if the conditions are right. And when the conditions are right, he will dwell. Now, God even came down into the physical structure. You know the smoke and the fire? You could see that, and God came down. But here we have this continued access. And one of the things that we don't ever want to happen, we don't ever want to get in a situation where we're not walking hand in hand with Jesus. That's one of the songs in our book that we sang to, Hand in Hand with Jesus. We want to walk with him in everything. And you know, when you're driving down the road now, if you're not hand in hand with Jesus, you're in trouble. You're in trouble when you're with Jesus, but you're surely in trouble in a place like this. You know, we have a small town that's very cumbersome. All you got to do is add two construction projects, and a town like Huntsville, we got more problems than Atlanta. We just don't know how to deal with this kind of thing. So we need that connectivity, you see. That's a good time to be praying. You know, try to leave the arsenal between 4:15 and 5:45. Just try. You can wait to 5:45 and get there at the same time. And this is just how it is. And you wouldn't believe, but you know, about 2 days out of a week, we run into a wreck just trying to get home from work, you know. Don't know what caused it, but we have that. You know, you got a short distance, but you see these kind of things. We should all appreciate how the Hebrew writers transition from the earthly sanctuary to the heavenly sanctuary. Because right after he finishes the verses that we had earlier read, then he transitioned to this heavenly sanctuary. And this is one that's in man. And we all join together to be God's children. Then he moves into verse number 11 of Hebrews chapter 9. And he says, now after all of this happened, and after we see all the rituals that had to happen, in verse number 11 he says, but Christ came as high priest of good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands. So here he transitions and he tells us about this piece, not made with hands. That is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Then he says something. Now this, under the old law, if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sacrifices for the purifying of the flesh, and this is a comparative analysis, he then says, if that could happen then how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. There's some power in that phrase. The blood of Christ cleanses our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. How many of us have been on cruise? Any of us been on cruise? When you go on a cruise, that little servant that they assigned to you, how often do they show up? The one we had just appears. I don't know what happened, but they're just there. My point I'm making is this. Do you know where a servant is? They're on duty all the time, night and day, day and night, to serve the one that they've been assigned to. Are you getting the picture? Now, since we've been cleansed from dead works, now what do we want to be? We want to be on target all the time, night and day, day and night. We even want to carry ourselves in such a way so we can sleep good, so that we don't toss and turn with evil in our heart, so we can even serve God while we are asleep, let alone while we are awake. Wait. As a matter of fact, we want to rest well so we can even do more for God while we are awake. So Christ went and he paid the price. And I know we've heard this, but sometimes it's hard for me to grasp just how much he paid for me. Just how much he paid, you see. He paid so much because, you see, even though I wanted to serve God, if I hadn't been cleansed, then my service is not acceptable. But then once he came, once and for all, we can continuously stay clean to where under the old law, you got to wait for the Day of Atonement. And then from that point, we steady go downhill. But this is one of the places that we can rise. You see, in the Old Testament, it never said grow in grace and knowledge. But here we are told to grow, to continue. We even have the Apostle Paul saying, I press toward the mark of the high calling. And this is something that we have offered that's above what used to be because we had Christ coming to offer the supreme sacrifice for our sin. So we just have something. And this is why you hear me ask the question all the time. When you sin, do you repent as quick as you can? And what I want us to do is get that in mind. Okay, I'm going to mess up, God. I know I'm going to mess up. But can I get in mind to fix it as quick as it hit me? You see, God has given us a conscience. And that conscience is given to us. So what we got to do, we got to do first thing first. And the first thing is, I ought to want to get back in the right relationship with God immediately. Not let it linger on. Not try to make it somebody else's fault. You see, if they hadn't have done this, forget about they. And get me in line with God. And maybe my example will help the they to get back in line also. You see, it couldn't happen in the earthly sanctuary. But now we have the heavenly sanctuary. We have so great ability. You know, if nothing else, all of us can get it right now. You know, sometimes it's good that we stand up and confess. But more than that, it's great that we cleanse our hearts with God. You see, if we learn how to cleanse our heart, we may learn how to stand up. But without the right heart, we're not saying the right thing to our God. Have you ever wondered, how much do we lack? How much do I lack of being the kind of person that's serving God day by day? You know, am I a Church of Christ member that's just there? Am I really growing towards serving God day by day? And I'm not saying this to bring us down. I'm saying this for us to change our thought process to try to take us up. And this is what we want to get out of this particular verse. So in this whole thing, you see what happened? God was pleased with the blood of bulls and goats at that time. You know how we know he was pleased? Back in Goshen, he said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. He was pleased with that blood. God called Abraham to offer the blood of his son. And I think that was just a sample of a son would die one day. You see, Abraham was called to fulfill this promise, and he showed the picture. And then God came later, and he asked Abraham to sacrifice his only son, but God truly sacrificed his only son. And you know, when God in the bright cloud overshadowed them there on the Mount of Transfiguration, God knew what Jesus was all about. You know what God is saying? I'm well pleased. So when God saw that blood, he was well pleased because the blood was that was going to deliver me. The blood was that was going to deliver you. Now, here's what has to happen. I got to work with the blood. God is pleased with the blood, and I got to work with the blood. Because of what happened to me, I'm forever in need of the cleansing of the blood. Do you know what I'm saying sounds just a little abstract? It does. But guess what? In order to get from the tabernacle or the sanctuary made with hand, and to get into the sanctuary made without hand, we got to keep going until we get a little abstract. You know, when I go back home to Fayetteville, they say there's one thing, and I never knew I said it all the time, but they said I said it all the time. They said, I never said you got to change your mind, but I said you got to lose your mind and take on the mind of God. And see, this is why it's abstract, because I'm not accustomed to talking this God stuff. So it's going to be abstract to me for a while. But I got to start working to get into this abstract arena so I can be able to be all that God called me to be. But more than that, to enjoy the power of the blessings that he's pouring out on me. You see, the blood cleans day by day by day. So that's why I said we got to work with the blood. But we couldn't work with that blood, because that blood was only the blood that the priest took in and offered that once per year. But once Christ went in and sent the blood, the redemption for us all, now the blood is continually available for all of us, and we can do it. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with learning how often you mess up. As a matter of fact, I think that's the only thing that's right, for me to learn how often I mess up and ask for the cleansing of the blood. Because if there's something so right about us, then why are we here? But to learn continually that we got to go before God's throne of grace. And not only that, God wants us to come. He wants us to come. He wants us to seek the blood. Because the more we seek the blood, the more we mess Satan up. Satan just can't stand a bloody Christian. He cannot stand a Christ bloody Christian, because he has no power. Because that blood cleanses us from his power. All of his power has been taken away. And the same Satan that pierced Jesus in the side, caused the blood to come out, that same drop of blood is the same drop that took his power away. It's a little tough to understand. But as we move into the spiritual realm, that's the other dimension. Did you notice that in this particular text, the Hebrew writer used this in verse number 11, not of this creation. That phrase was used there. And the reason that phrase was used, to let us know we need to move from this creation, and we need to move into something that's from another creation. So therefore, it couldn't happen while the earthly tabernacle still stood, but it could happen when the heavenly tabernacle came and all of my blessings have fallen upon me because of what I was given from God through Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit in the heavenly tabernacle. You know, all this is not good because it's kind of misused, but there's a song out there in this. Guy, you know, he talked about how they wouldn't let him sing because he sung bad. And then he died and he said he went to heaven. And then, you know, y'all probably heard this song, Singing in the Heavenly Choir. But we can really do that, because now we are part of the heavenly tabernacle. I've always wondered what God's ears hear. And I believe the first thing they hear is humility, not melody. I just believe God's ears hear. They hear humility and not melody. I just believe that. And that's why Jesus would say something like this. Suffer little children to come unto me because they're just so pure and they're just so humble. And since we are all children, he's really calling for all of us to be his little children, pure and humble. And let us all be thankful that we now have the opportunity to participate, and let us strive to understand and learn about this heavenly sanctuary. And let's enjoy it while we live. There may be something that we need to correct in our hearts. It just may be the opportunity to sing from God and feel the Spirit move in the right direction. We may need the prayer of our brethren, whatever it might be. We beg you, think about it. Think about it today. Think about it this week. Make the change and depend on the blood. But right now, let us stand and let us sing while we think on these things. When he's like a river attended my way with song.